morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 58 minutes. Today, I am really, really happy to have with me and honored to have with me Brian Andrews, the president of County Ambulance and a lifelong friend. But we're here today to talk about something very, very serious. And Brian, we had a big article in the Eagle. We're just trying to build on it. Yes, we are recording this on Ash Wednesday. I didn't bang my head. But I have to get Brian when I can get him, and this will air on Monday. But before I do, I have a couple of announcements I really want to get out. Michael, this is Michael Collins. He is the Grand Knight of the Knights of Columbus in Pittsfield. On March the 3rd, St. Joseph's Parish will have dine-in or take-out a fish fry. It will be from 4 to 6, and the takeout will the takeout will be from 4:30 to 6. The menu, fish, coleslaw, dessert. There will be a 50-50 raffle. You have to call the rectory and make your reservations and pay. And that is 413-445-5789. Berkshire Music School, one of my favorites in the whole city. Call Natalie. Well, call up the Berkshire Music. They have all kinds of wonderful events. And I just will say this. If you have a desire, I don't care how old you are, if you have a desire to learn an instrument or sing a song, call these people. They're really wonderful. 413-442-1411. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on down at Shakespeare and Company. March 11th, Berkshire Jazz featuring jazz master DeFeo Marsalis. Kevin Barnini and Friends, an evening of comedy. That's happening on March 18th. And on April 15th, Berkshire Jazz Virtuoso Ted Rosenthal. Bunches and bunches of stuff going on really and truly all through the summer. Pittsfield High, class of 69, will be celebrating their 54th class reunion at the Italian American Club on June the 24th. Now, why am I reading it now? Because if you ever put one of these things together, it takes months. Well, the fee is $50 per person. And you can send your check to Kathy, NIMONS, 72 Taylor, TAYLOR Street, Pittsfield, Massachusetts, 01201. And I believe that, oh no, I got one more and then we'll get to my friend. Oh, two more, actually. RSVP. On April the 12th, we'll be celebrating 50 years of service. And Berkshire County was one of the very first RSVPs, and we're really, really happy about that, being part of that whole situation. And it will be at the RSVP headquarters, and that's right in the basement of the library auditorium. That's where it's going to be. Also, we don't want to, March 9th through 11th, RSVP volunteers will be at the book sale, which is always, always, always a wonderful, wonderful event. Also, March 2nd, Read Across America Day. They are looking for volunteers. You can call RSVP or you can call United Way, whatever, which one you choose. Lisa Torrey. At the RSVP, 413-395-0110, and she gets you all set for that. Committee assignments. This just came out. I just got this from Senator Paul Mark. He is chair of the Tourism, Arts, and Cultural Development, vice chair of Transportation, Bonding, Capital Expenditures, and State Assets. And he's a member of Advanced Information Technology, the Internet and Cyber Security, Children, Family, and Persons with Disability, Higher Education, Telecommunication and Energy, and Veterans and Federal Affairs. Other than that, he doesn't have a thing to do. So now, without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend for many, many, many years, Brian Andrews. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we're going to talk, folks, about something. I know some of you might not care for it, but that's okay. We have to address these things. And personally and professionally, I don't find anybody better equipped, better experienced, better educated than Brian Andrews in his whole paramedic EMT to talk about the Narcan and the fentanyl pandemic. I'm going to make it a pandemic. You can call it an epidemic, whatever. It seems to be all over the world. And people are dying, and Narcan can save their lives. As I said, there was a wonderful article in the Eagle about Brian and his effort. Brian, I'm going to kick it over to you, brother.
Sure. Thanks, Bill. So we're part of a new, actually started out as a study from the federal government, the National Institute for Health. Excuse me. They have invested over about a 3-year period, over $350 million to study what is the most effective treatment for reversing overdoses and preventing, addiction to opioids. So unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, Massachusetts was chosen because we are one of the most affected states out there. So along with Kentucky, New York, and Ohio, this project, it's kind of a multi-pronged project where there's a lot of research being done. The goal is within the next 3 years to reduce overdose deaths by 40%.
Wow.
Which is, as we know,
significant.
Yeah. I mean, every day there's 130 to 140 people a day who die from overdose from opioids. And it's just too many people being lost. So the federal government has realized they need to invest some funds in that. And so here in Massachusetts, Boston Medical Center is a leader in the state in terms of substance abuse in recovery, training, and treatment. So they were chosen to be the overall coordinator of the program. And so out here in the West, Pittsfield and North Adams were identified as having very high overdose deaths, and we were chosen to participate in the study. So we're actually in wave two, meaning we've already gone through the initial stages of really putting together the initial data of where we are here in Berkshire County, especially here in Pittsfield, North Adams, what's available in terms of services, trying to coordinate those services. And part of that group is what we call OEND, and that is overdose education and Narcan distribution. Okay. So specifically the article that was in the Eagle, it was to talk about the naloxone program that we are in the midst of undertaking. And so we actually started one step back in, I think it was November, here at our ambulance service. We began distributing overdose naloxone kits. They're called leave behind kits. So if we go to an overdose, and we will offer to leave them with this kit, and the kit has a couple doses of naloxone or Narcan. It's got a pocket rescue mask, got some information pamphlets, etc. And so the intent is, if somebody's used Narcan at the scene before we've gotten there, we want to give them more to replace it.
Right.
Or even if they have not, we'll offer it, for a future incident. Because really, part of the research already done knows that Narcan makes a big difference in preventing overdose death. So the more widespread distribution we have of naloxone across the country, the more successful we'll be in trying to reduce overdose deaths. So we here started, like I said, in November doing that. We distributed a number of kits, and it doesn't matter if the patient gets transported or not, we'll offer that kit.
Oh, wow.
But, it's got a lot of valuable information in it. There's a pamphlet that has been put together with the help of Berkshire Regional Planning, who kind of spearheads a lot of this research that we're doing here in Berkshire County. And the pamphlet has all kinds of helpful information in regards to recovery programs, treatment options, housing, financial assistance, food. I mean, all the things that we know are at the heart of people who suffer from addiction. And so we started that in November. The next stage we're working on is a more widespread distribution of Narcan in the community. Presently, people can go to places like Tapestry or Berkshire Harm Reduction and get free Narcan, no questions asked.
Right.
The state started a program where people can get Narcan from a pharmacy. The intent was to make it easier to get for the general public. So there is a statewide prescription that's been written that, so you don't have to have a prescription from your doctor. You go to any pharmacy, they're supposed to know that they have this statewide prescription available. They also know that they can charge your insurance company to recover the cost of that. And unfortunately, one of the things we've found out is many pharmacies don't know about this program. I'm not sure how it was rolled out at the state level, you know, et cetera. And we know the struggles of staff turnovers that everybody goes through.
Everybody.
I've had a couple people who've called me and told me the horror stories they had. You know, one gentleman called me last week and said he wanted Narcan. He went to the pharmacy and they said, okay, that'll be $147. And it was like, wait a minute. I thought I could get it for free. And they were like, no. You know, and then another woman had called me and said she went to a pharmacy and asked for it, and they weren't even sure what she was talking about. So we know how important trying to get that Narcan out there is, and it's not working. I'm not saying it's not working, but there's some struggles at that level. So we've got we'll be distributing locations.
Oh.
So for instance, here at my place, we'll have, it'll probably be from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Somebody can come down here and get Narcan.
Oh.
Free of charge. We don't need your insurance card. We don't need anything. This is a Narcan that's been provided through the grant. And basically all we ask is for your zip code, just so we know kind of geographically where the Narcan is going to. And then we'll ask you if you've ever received Narcan from us before. And that's just for collection purposes for the
right.
state. We don't need names. We don't need addresses. We don't need any specifics. And what we're going to do is we'll have a drop box on the front door of our building. So call ahead, ask for it. We'll get the information we need, you know, zip code and whether you've gotten it from us before. And we'll leave it in that box. All you got to do is pull up, take it out of the box, you're on your way. We want to make it as discreet as possible. We want to make it as easy as possible. And so we're one location that's going to be added. We'll probably within the next week, we're awaiting our Narcan delivery. And I know it came into Berkshire County yesterday, so I'm hoping we'll get it in the next day or two. So
okay.
That we officially announce that we are doing the distribution. And then there's going to be other locations that are added. So the goal is there'll be a website that we're putting together locally that you'll be able to go to, and there'll be a map that'll list all the locations where you can get Narcan from. So somebody can click on that and it'll give details like with us. It'll say 8 to 8, call this number, etc. And then the state actually has a distribution site as well. And what that will do is populate all of the locations in Massachusetts that have Narcan available, so that no matter where you reside, you'll be able to go to that map and find out, okay, this is somewhere that I can go that's close by, and they're part of this program. So we know that it's going to be, you know, easily done without a lot of hoops to jump through. And so we're really hoping to get that Narcan into the hands of as many people as possible. We're also going to have some locations that it's going to be discreetly, almost like a vending machine, if you will, or a box on the wall where somebody can just go up and retrieve it. We've got some, we've identified some high-risk locations where people who may have opioid use disorder or may, you know, for whatever reason, have people in that area that would be interested in Narcan. So we've identified, you know, some businesses and things like that that will be rolling out as we go forward, so that it's going to be, there's a couple pieces to this, and kind of got into it in the article, is we want to make it as easy as possible, and we want to make people to feel as normal as possible, retrieving it. We want people to feel as though they don't, we're not stigmatizing anybody. We want it to be normal for you to carry Narcan. So that, God forbid, if somebody should go down in your presence that potentially has overdosed, you can make the difference.
Yeah.
Because Narcan does work. There's no doubt about it.
Brian, after the article, a couple of people, and so I'll ask you, so they're watching, because I already told them you're going to be on. Is there special training for this, or how is it used? If you see somebody go down, you have the Narcan. I can remember when they first brought out CPR.
Yeah.
That's how old I am. But when they first brought out CPR, you had to go through all kinds of training and everything, and be recertified. But how about the Narcan training piece, or the application of it, I guess, both of those areas?
So, matter of fact, here's, I know it's probably going to be hard to see on camera here, but I have one of the kits. Within the kit is an informational pamphlet. That informational pamphlet talks through the steps of doing it. And it's very, very easy. When you take the Narcan out of the package, there is an illustration of how to administer it.
Oh,
we
cool.
also will be offering community trainings. If somebody wants, we'll go into a business. We'll do it for individuals. We'll do, it's really 5 minutes of training. It's very easy to use.
Well, let me know when you're doing that so I can get a week or so in advance so I can get people the knowledge to do it, including myself.
Sure. Well, and so that's one of the ideas that I have too, is to just record. We don't use videotape anymore. But record
Maybe
a little.
You don't, mister, but I still got a VCR right there.
Okay. So we'll I'm thinking of recording a training and making it, readily available so people can go on there if they don't feel comfortable going to a training, or they don't have time to do the training, they can watch the video. There's already videos available on the internet, but we'll give it that local spin. And, so there's no refresher training. There's no, certification per se that goes with it. We are a Heart Association training center, and they do have a course you can take on Narcan use. But again, why pay for it if you can get it for nothing? That will be coming up as well. The thing that people need to also understand is Narcan is a pretty benign medication. It does almost never, I don't want to say never, but almost never has any adverse reactions for the patient. There is a small, small, small percentage of people who will have an allergic reaction to it like any other medication, but I have never seen that happen myself, or our organization. It doesn't have any effects that trigger anything else within your body. It's not going to trigger a heart attack or lung problem, anything like that. And it works within a minute to 3 minutes. It goes into effect and reverses that overdose. And what it does is it goes right to those receptors where the opioid is going to work, and it blocks it. It gets in between the opioid and your receptor and doesn't allow it to work anymore. And so it reverses that depression that's happened to your body. Now, some people will say, oh, there's adverse reactions to it. I've seen that. It's not an adverse reaction, but what it can do is it can trigger withdrawal in somebody who is opioid dependent, because you're administering something that now has been replaced, and the body will sometimes react by going into withdrawal. So oftentimes on the ambulance, what we do is we only administer it if somebody is not able to ventilate on their own. We don't give it just because somebody may have overdosed, maybe they're drowsy. Absolutely not. We will just monitor their airway. But if it becomes a problem where they can't breathe, then we will give it, and we try to give it in small enough doses to restore breathing, but not trigger a withdrawal condition. Not that it's going to be dangerous to go into withdrawal immediately, but it's very uncomfortable for the patient. And it's not our goal is to make people uncomfortable. So, it is unfortunate that there are some myths and misconceptions about Narcan out there. There's, of course, people who, attach a stigma to it. It was no sooner than, 8 hours after this article appeared in the paper, then, some of the local websites had some not kind discussions on it. And it really is heartbreaking to see that. And I shared it with the rest of our committee, because a lot of people, didn't know this was going on. I shared it to them, and some people on the committee were like awestruck by the level of stigma and, disgrace that some people were attaching to it. And I only did that so they can see we've got a lot of work to do with this. It's not only a matter of getting Narcan distributed, it's a matter of people understanding how it works, why it works, and to destigmatize, because it's not only people who are opioid dependent that suffer from overdoses. Sometimes it's people who are taking opioids because they have a medical condition,
right?
Cancer patients, pain, pain management, and they may have accidentally taken too much, or just the conditions, they had an increase in dose and it was a little too much. So there's a number of reasons why sometimes that happens. The other thing is, we know that the illicit drug trade, all of it is contaminated with fentanyl. And fentanyl is much, much stronger than heroin or opioids. And people get it unknowingly. There are people, one way people become, dependent on opioids are people who've suffered injuries. I've had family members this happen to.
Yeah.
Had injuries, had pain management through opioids. And this was way back when there wasn't a real well-known, collection of knowledge on the fact that it's very addictive. And
right.
So all of a sudden the doctor withdrew it and said, okay, don't need pain medication anymore. And then next thing you know, they're suffering from withdrawal and they seek it on the street. And so, heroin isn't the only place. Sometimes people resort to buying pills illegally. Sometimes it's prescription medications that somebody is selling that they're no longer using, but oftentimes they're manufactured pills that are put together in these pill mills, that these drug traffickers put together. And we know that they're not sterile. They're not sticking to any FDA guidelines. And so on the same table that they're cutting the cocaine that they're selling, the marijuana that they're selling, they're cutting up this, sometimes they don't even know there's fentanyl in it. Although we know here in Berkshire County, just about every single illegal drug that's out there has traces of fentanyl in it.
Wow.
There's no doubt about it.
Wow. That's some breaking news. And I'm glad you're saying it, because just to recap a little bit before the break, don't be so judgmental, people. I saw some of that internet stuff, and that was to me, here but for the, it's me Irish mother used to say, God rest her soul, here but for the grace of God go I. And if you don't have it in your family, be happy. Say a prayer for those people that do have it in their family, and thank God for Narcan. Don't be so damn critical about everything. I like you, Brian. I had to stop looking at the string, because I thought, how can you have this many people that really don't understand, I guess, or what opioid, fortunately I going back to lacing stuff, when I was in Vietnam, they started lacing marijuana with opium. And you know, the guys that were smoking grass there, they didn't know. And next thing you know, they were really addicted. So this gentleman I have with me today, he's so knowledgeable. He's so good at what he does. And he's a good friend. His name is Brian Andrews. He's the president of County Ambulance. Known Brian for a very, very long time. But please stay tuned. We come back from the break. This is a very important topic if you have children or grandchildren or yourself. I know a person very much like Brian, had a messed up back operation, was on opioids, and then all of a sudden the doctor stopped prescribing and the person went to the street. It didn't work out well. We'll be right back. This is 89.7 WTBR FM on your radio dial. We're simulcasting on PC TV channel 1301. This is Pittsfield Community Radio. And let me say this. This is present and prevalent in our community. And Brian can attest to that when we come back. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Mantiques, a 7,000 square foot shop featuring collectibles, antique signs, and much more for your garage, bar, man cave, or she shed. Open Thursday through Monday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and located on Route 7 in Lanesboro. And from Greylock Grounds Drive Through and Cafe, featuring different varieties of local coffee and tea from Six Depot Roastery Cafe. Greylock Grounds K-Cups are locally brewed and the only biodegradable compostable K-Cups using a local roaster. Visit their drive-through location on Route 7 in Lanesboro, serving coffee, paninis, ice cream, and more. Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community Action Council. BCAC is in need of licensed contractors to service low-income clients who are in need of insulation and heating upgrades, offering a consistent project pipeline, quick payment turnaround, and more. Contact Julie for more information at 413-418-3664.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBRFM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The gentleman that you see there, a longtime friend, paramedic, EMT, president of County Ambulance. But today we're on about Narcan and learning about Narcan and learning and where to get it, how to use it, when to use it, have it on your person. I think that was one of the things I picked up, Brian, on the periphery of your article is, it isn't any good if it's in your bathroom medicine closet and you're out at the mall, say. So have it on your person or where you can get to it. Because and Brian brought up, and he's an expert. He's going to repeat some of what he said in the first hour because it's a morning show. People are in and out. But this fentanyl, Brian, it's deadly.
Absolutely. Unfortunately. You know, it's very easy to get into this country. We know it's coming out of China. You know, it's manufactured over there, or at least the binary ingredients are, you know, then shipped over to, you know, a lot of it comes through Mexico and up that way.
Yeah.
But, it's extremely potent as compared to opioids. And so that's why having availability of Narcan is so important. And, you know, things are always evolving because now the latest couple things that are coming on the horizon is we're now seeing animal tranquilizer being mixed in with the opioid chain. Yeah. And that also very potent, and not a lot is known about it. Xylazine, it's called, and that is starting to show up more and more. We also are seeing methamphetamine showing up on the horizon. It was something that you heard about in other places, you know, but I was actually had the honor of being on a commission here in Massachusetts about a year ago, commission on methamphetamine use, and worked with a bunch of great, knowledgeable, and talented people to look at the what was coming with that, and unfortunately, not good things. It's again cheaply produced and has a big profit margin for people who care to, you know, deal in illegal drugs. But it also has some reversing effects in terms of the depressive effects that opioids have on you. So people who are addicted to opioids, in some cases, are taking meth to, because meth, you know, is a stimulant, allows them to work, allows them to work and function, you know, while using, you know, an opioid due to, you know, pain or whatever the case may be. So, you know, this unfortunately is just always changing on the illegal drug front. But we know that the epidemic is, you know, obvious. When you're losing this many people, we've got to do something. And so, you know, one of the things that the article did is it stimulated a lot of discussion. So, you know, everywhere I went, somebody would say, hey, I saw your article and I want you to know right here in my purse, I've got some, or hey, right here in my backpack, I've got some. So there are a lot of people who already carry it and it's available. And we know that we're starting to see it more often being administered before we arrive on the scene when a 911 call is made. And that's an important, you know, part of the discussion we need to have too. You know, sometimes people think, well, I've got Narcan, I can administer it, it's going to reverse it, and I don't need to call an ambulance. You really do. You need to call 911 because you don't know how many doses it's going to take to reverse it, depending on, you know, how much they took. Sometimes you may not have enough Narcan. Another thing about it is the half-life of Narcan is shorter than that of like heroin, fentanyl. So you can reverse it and actually a half an hour later, the Narcan wears off and they go back into overdose. So, you know, we encourage anybody that we respond to go to the hospital. And most of the time they do. Very rarely will they decline. The good part is if they decline, at least we can offer them, you know, the leave behind kits that we have and try to make sure that somebody's with them to monitor them and make sure that they're not in an unsafe situation. The other thing people, you know, need to realize that there's been decisions made and laws made that anybody who calls 911 or is present with somebody who overdoses and calls, you know, is there when the ambulance arrives, is not subject to law enforcement action. So people need to know they can call 911 and they're not going to be subject to arrest. The person who overdosed isn't going to be subject to arrest. None of that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And also the data is huge. I'm always looking at data, whether it be, you know, cardiac arrests, heart attacks, or overdoses. But we always use that data blindly. We don't, you know, use names, addresses, things like that. So people need to know that this is all very confidential. We're subject in our business to, you know, HIPAA, which makes sure that people's information is safe with us and the hospital as well. So we can only transfer a minimal amount of information needed to continue their care. So like when we get to the hospital, identify them to them, et cetera. But people, I don't want people worrying that their, you know, name's going to end up on the street or anything like that.
The other piece too is you can save a life. The bottom line is you can save a life. And that to me is the most important thing about all of this talk in this show and the article and the real world. Again, let me just go back and say, don't be so judgmental. You don't know how the person got there. You know, like a quick story, you know, years ago, they gave Percocet for PTSD. So they found out that wasn't very good down the road. But so I'm just saying a lot of people there, I go back to my teenage years. My teenage years, was experimenting going over the mountain to the ski lodge. Now, we knew people got hurt, and we knew there were car wrecks and all this. But we still did it. There's a new group of experimenters out there that are saying, well, I'm just going to try this because Joey said it really makes you feel good. Please don't take anything from anybody because you don't know what's in it. You really, right. Brian just went down a whole list from animal tranquilizers to methamphetamines. And, Brian, I'll tell you, this show, well, it's to me, it's informational. It's part of our community service. But I have to tell you, brother, it's damn scary.
It is. And just to step back to the whole stigma. You know, like I talked about earlier, I encountered some pushback to the article. And I talked about the fact that there's some people who just aren't educated or they've read the myths and misconceptions about it. But there's also a factor that when you're hit close in the family, you know, a loved one, it can be very frustrating. It can be very hurtful because, you know, things happen that are not, you know, nice. You know, people who become addicted sometimes will steal, you know, from their loved ones and sell property and things like that. And so people can get bitter because of that. And I certainly understand that, that I've been there. I've dealt with it where, you know, you're trying to do whatever you can to help that person and they're not accepting that help. And there's a whole psychology behind this. You know, it's been determined that this is a disease of the brain. And once those changes happen in your brain, it's very difficult to reverse it on your own. And so we've got to get people in a place where they are knowledgeable about recovery and treatment, and we make it widely available. And again, things like cost should not prohibit people from getting help. And, you know, get them to that help as soon as we can, but you can't force somebody to get help. And I know that's part of the frustration that goes along with, in Massachusetts, we have what's called a Section 35, that if you feel somebody is a harm to themselves or the people around them due to substance use disorder, you can petition the court to have that person sent, you know, and basically imprisoned to get treatment. And while it sounds good and in the moment when you're very frustrated with somebody, it seems like the thing to do. But I learned the hard way. People don't go into recovery until they're in a place that they feel comfortable. And, you know, it's taken me a number of books, you know, and videos and other things to really understand it. There's a whole process to recovery. And you know, you mentioned people in Vietnam who became addicted because opium, you know, was widespread there. Yeah. And so soldiers were using it to escape pain. But more importantly, they were using it to escape this nasty war that they were involved with.
Yeah.
But what came out of that, we, you know, through research that's been done, is when they came back to the United States, a very, very small percentage of them remained addicted.
That's right.
Because once they got back here, they were no longer in that uncomfortable situation. They had social supports here with their family, you know, et cetera.
Yeah.
And everybody was offered treatment. And so I think it was something like less than 4% relapsed after 2 years of returning from the war.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to be said and a lot to be learned from that of how recovery and treatment needs to work. And so if you think about that and you know, somebody who's in an awful situation, maybe they're homeless, they, you know, have no finances, they're all these bad things surrounding them, it's going to be very hard for them to seek treatment because they're still encountering that bad situation, as well as they're now physically addicted. You know, this is not just a disease that is, you know, a mental addiction. It's a physical addiction where if you don't get that opioid, you're going to suffer physical symptoms that are just awful. You know, include vomiting, diarrhea, you know, shaking, the chills, you know, yeah. sweating. It's awful thing to see somebody go through that withdrawal process. The good thing is if you seek professional treatment, there are ways to, you know, combat some of those symptoms and make it easier to go through recovery. But that's what makes people so desperate that they, you know, they may steal to get money to get, more drug to yep. reverse those effects. So there's so much to this. And, you know, as we talked about the whole negativity that came out from a minority. I actually found a lot of people who were supportive of what I was saying.
Oh yeah.
But, you know, I put my name to the responses. I'm not afraid to speak about it. And if I can get kicked around and at least get one person who now thinks a little differently, it's worth it to me to get kicked around.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes your best advice, you know, that I'm told is walk away. Don't get involved yep. in an argument. But man, this is such a big problem. I feel we've got to put ourselves up there and be willing to take a little bit of it. So in another part of our campaign that you've probably already seen are the billboards that are about, ads within the Eagle. And it's people who have saved lives with Narcan.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who carry Narcan. And what we're trying to do is put faces of people you may know so that you're not going to feel uncomfortable carrying Narcan.
Yeah. And it's really important to the people listening or viewing this. Don't say, well, I would never need it or I couldn't do it. If someone is dying right in front of you, and that's a very real possibility with an OD and the fentanyl and all the other crap that's out there, you can do it. You know, just you save a life. I mean, I can't say that enough. I know I'm an old man. I repeat myself, but you can save a life.
Absolutely. It's the easiest way of anything we do to save a life. You don't have to know how to do chest compressions or blow in somebody's mouth. All you got to know is how to put something up somebody's nostril and squeeze it. You know, the hard part of this is, and this is an argument, and I don't have a way to combat this, is it certainly is costing a lot of money to fight this epidemic.
Yeah.
Nasal Narcan, this is very frustrating to me. You get a nasal Narcan, two doses in one of those nasal applicators.
Yeah.
It's $140. $140. You can get that same amount of Narcan in a syringe for $2 and change. But because somebody holds the patent on that device, they're maximizing their profit. That's a frustrating part of this because people become very opinionated about the amount of money that's being spent on this. Well, again, if it's your loved one's life, I think you might think about it a little differently.
Yeah. If it's your child or your grandchild or your spouse or your brother or your sister, it's a short amount of money. But what to dovetail what Brian just said, if it can be made cheaper, let's do it. You know, it always drives me crazy too, the price of insulin. It's ridiculous. Right. I mean, but what you can.
And I kind of wonder, you know, it's funny you bring that up. I kind of wonder why the federal government hasn't got involved like that, like they did with insulin. Now they're starting to cap what Medicare can pay. Why isn't somebody doing that with Narcan? I mean, that's a discussion for another day, and it's way above my pay grade to understand how that all works. But, we need to also understand there's a high cost to not saving lives.
That's right.
The cost of losing a loved one, not only, to the family and the people they know, but, you know, the cost of the care to take care of them. There's just so much to it that we need to do whatever's possible to try to help people until they get to the point that they're willing to seek treatment.
And there's, again, reaching out, being prepared, get your Narcan, read about it. When the training sessions start, Brian can get me the places where you can get it. I'll announce it every day, just like I do a lot of these announcements, because I feel it's that important. I won't get into who, but I was talking with a nurse who just said, you just can't believe. And this is Pittsfield. And that's the other piece I want people to understand. I probably won't get a letter of gratitude from the Chamber of Commerce, but that's okay. We have to get this information out. This is here and now in Pittsfield. It's not New York City or LA. It's here, Berkshire County, Pittsfield. And it's prevalent. Is that fair to say prevalent?
Oh, it is absolutely. You know, we have a very high overdose death rate as compared to other parts of Massachusetts. And Massachusetts is one of the highest states, you know, in the country.
Yeah.
So another message I want to get out there, too, is that if you're on the other side of this, you're the person who is suffering from substance use disorder.
Yeah.
Please, please have hope that there is help for you. And yep. As stigmatized as some people may be to you, and you may find you're at the end of your rope, please, you know, there is help out there. And again, we're trying to publicize all those places people can get treatment, talk to somebody, because we've unfortunately found there's also a link between suicide and yes. people suffering from addiction. You get to a point where they just have lost all hope. They may have sought treatment and it didn't work, and you know, and they just say, well, this is, and it's hard forensically to be able to determine an overdose death was intentional or not. And so I know there's still evolving science on determining that, but we do know that there is a connection. We know of people who have, you know, made their final overdose intentionally. And please, don't do that, because we also have a high rate of suicide in this state, in this country.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always help. And, you know, and again, sometimes the first time at the treatment doesn't work. Sometimes different treatment options work for different people. You know, there are some people who stigmatize medicated assisted treatment, you know, methadone or Suboxone.
Right. Right.
They work for some people. That is right. The way they need to do it. In some cases, they may be on it long term. There are people who are professionals who in our community who work very productive lives who get methadone every day. There's nothing wrong with that. If it keeps them in recovery and allows them to have a functional, happy life, then so be it. Some people will be on it for a period of time and then wean off it and then not have to take medicated assisted treatment. Yeah. For some people, Suboxone works. Some people, it doesn't. Some people, you know, methadone works. Some people practice abstinence. You know, there's various methods to it. You know, there's the 12-step programs and like that. How you determine which one's best for you, I don't know. But please try one of them if you have that problem, because we don't want you to become a statistic.
And I will tell you, full disclosure, I was a smoker. I gave up smoking probably 2,000-3,000 times. One day I went a whole day without. I thought I was a success story. But then I had a reason to give it up, and that was my son, and I gave it up. Was it easy? Hell no. Believe me. And to just dovetail what Brian's saying, if you are out there and you have some form of addiction, there is help, but you have to make the first step. You have to ask for the help, and then you'll be surprised. I mean this sincerely. You'll be surprised with the amount of people who will step forward and help you with your addiction, with breaking that cycle of addiction and getting back on a path where you're going to be happy, not worrying about your next fix. You know,
absolutely. And you know, there are so many success stories out there.
Yeah.
Have, you know, sought recovery and been very successful in it. And, you know, does it mean that they won't have a relapse? No, you know, that's always a possibility.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like anything. Like you said, you got to take the first step. And, you know, we're there to hopefully help you with that. So, you know, and again, even in our business of healthcare, it can be frustrating. You know, one thing we watch for in our people is what we call compassion fatigue, where right. you get to the point where, you know, you may see the same person over and over and over again for the same problem. And you go, you know, this is just insanity. And
yeah,
but I'm proud to say, and we just had this discussion at a supervisor meeting not too long ago about compassion fatigue, and everybody, you know, was in agreement that, like with us, our folks are caring. They understand yeah. the disease, you know, they see it firsthand. And yes, it can be fatiguing to see those people, but they also have seen a lot of success stories. So yeah. they're willing to, you know, deal with that. But that's not the case with all healthcare professionals. And for those people, I apologize. And if I see it happen, I talk to those people because I think it's important that they realize that maybe they're emotionally traumatized but by the care they've been giving, and now they're fatigued and need some help themselves. So, you know, there's so, like I said, this epidemic of substance use disorder just affects so many people, and really has such long reaching tentacles, if you will.
And Brian, if people, I guess if they're approached, and you never know who's going to approach you. If you're approached by a loved one or a friend that comes up, and I just flash back to someone I knew and like since I was a kid, who was an alcoholic, and I never knew it. And I remember to him saying, but I never saw you drunk. He said, no, you never saw me sober. And but he approached me, and you know, fortunately, I put my thinking cap on, which, you know, I don't do very often, and because I usually can't find it. But I reached out to somebody in AA, and that person came code 3 to my place with this person and said, we got to get you into rehab detox. And we took him up to Brattleboro Retreat in Vermont, and to after that he didn't drink another drop till the day he died. I mean, he died, he didn't drink. So that's the other thing. If someone comes to you, reach out for help.
Right.
I mean, this is not something, you know, the people carry around saying, oh, yeah, I know all about this. You know, how would they do that, Brian? Who would they reach out to?
They can reach out to certainly the Breen Center. The Breen Center has the whole process for people who are substance use disorder. You can reach out to the emergency department. The emergency department has a protocol for dealing with somebody who needs treatment, and it may be at BMC, it may not be at BMC. You know, these information pamphlets that we'll be distributing in these kits outline all the places you can seek treatment. You can go to a website. Massachusetts has a website of substance use treatment facilities that, you know, there's groups on Facebook. I've got one group every day. I think it's called Recovery in Massachusetts or Recovery Massachusetts. And every morning I get a notification of detox beds that are available, recovery programs who have openings. And so if somebody were to approach me, I know I can take a look and, you know, here's some options we can help you, you know, get to. And that we're going to be doing more education on that. We're working with the mayor right now and doing a forum with PCTV to try to do some education on that. And that'll obviously be pushed out to all the public TV outlets in Berkshire County to educate people about what those treatment options are, where you can go. We are working right now to operationalize a post-overdose reach out team here that after an overdose, we will reach out to that person and ask them if they'd like some, you know, to discuss what options they have. You know, in like we know, the time to do it isn't right after you've given them Narcan and they've, you know, they may be in withdrawal or they may be uncomfortable. A lot of things are going through their head, but we also know that in hours and days to come, they are vulnerable to being helped. So, you know, we actually 2 years ago got approved by the state to implement this. But right at that point, we lost my brother. And so we put it on hold, then COVID hit and all that. But we are right now starting on the path to the training of the individuals that will go out and do that post-overdose, or even people who are maybe not an overdose patient, but somebody in the community is identified as a candidate, you know, that they're having an issue. So a police officer who interacts in the public, maybe, you know, hey, I know this person is vulnerable. We know that people who are, you know, trafficked for sex, unfortunately, have a high rate of substance use disorder. And so police encounter people within that trade, and they would be able to reach out to us and we can, you know, help them. So more announcements to come on that. You know, again, we will be announcing on Facebook and other outlets as soon as we have the naloxone Narcan available, so people can reach out to us to get that Narcan. So you'll be able to call our office and we'll make that available to whomever wants it, especially here in the immediate Pittsfield area. So a lot of, this program is far from over. You know,
we'll do more.
Yes.
As it evolves, I'll have you guys back on. Brian Andrews, County Ambulance, thank you so much. Folks, we're going to get you the Narcan. You can save a life. That's all you need to know. And you can't, it's almost impossible to hurt anybody distributing the Narcan. Almost impossible. Brian, thanks a million for taking the time. I'll be listening tonight, but... be well, my friend. Best to the family. And to my listeners and Brian and all his family, my viewers and listeners, God bless. And this dovetails what I say every day. Let's do something and take care of each other. Think of a better way you could save somebody's life. Take care, my friend. Be well. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.